In October, President Macron vetoed the formal start of EU membership talks with North Macedonia and Albania. Macron said the process of enlarging the EU first needed reform. Only then could the talks go ahead. But many in Brussels believe that Macron is being obstructive because EU enlargement is still so unpopular in France. Macron, meanwhile, has singled out Albania as unsuitable for EU membership on the basis that Albanians still apply for asylum in France in large numbers. Former European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker called Macron's veto an historic mistake. The former president of the European Council, Donald Tusk, declared himself embarrassed since so much preparatory work had been completed. As for the senior officials in the Western Balkans who feel Macron is betraying their European dream, the situation was extremely, well,
awkward and uncomfortable, I would say. It's not only the vacuum in economic terms. You are not part of a bigger club of people.
Mylinda Bregu heads the Regional Cooperation Council, based in Sarajevo. Backed by the EU and 46 participating countries, the council spearheads development in a region that was torn apart by war in the 90s. The council also strongly backs efforts by six Western Balkan countries to join the EU.
The EU leverage in the region is at its highest peak when the process of negotiations has started, because the public administration, the reforms are pushed harder, then you'll have all the decisions being monitored carefully. So that's how the process goes.
In fact, there was a major breakthrough in the region a year ago when Macedonia officially changed its name to North Macedonia. That ended a 30-year standoff with Greece, and it was meant to smooth the way for North Macedonia to join the EU. For its part, Albania had been overhauling its judiciary ahead of the anticipated EU membership process.
What is going to happen now with this agreement of North Macedonia and Greece? Because for that agreement to be alive, you need to open the negotiations. And then you think, okay, so what's going to happen with Albania now? The system has been shaken completely. The judicial reform that started in 2017. So it's a lot of things. And then what's going to happen with the rest of our agendas in the region? Because regional cooperation has a sense once the final end is the EU integration.
After Macron's no, foreign policy experts were quick to warn that Russia and China would be even freer to continue expanding their influence in the region.
So there are countries that have a lot of investments from China, some others from Russia as well. China is investing, and not only because of the vacuum from EU, but because China is trying to invest everywhere in the world. So they are bringing in investments, but then you take loans for those investments. Investing on what is called the debt diplomacy. And for big investment in infrastructure, you need to employ people. People are unemployed in the region. You need investments. It takes 9 hours drive from Tirana to Sarajevo, and it's only 385 kilometers. So it's not an easy call for politicians who have a Chinese investment.
Bregu says that if Macron really wanted to avoid the precipice that he spoke about in his Economist interview, then he needs to be more open to EU membership for Western Balkans countries now and not at some ill-defined later date. She says enlargement would help overcome some of the existential challenges that Macron says he's most concerned about.
President Macron, when he said that the world is on the edge of a precipice, I don't think that the recipe against the precipice would be leaving or postponing the process of accession of the Western Balkans. And I think that Western Balkans is part of these challenges, is part of the global post-truth threats. These are issues of European identity. It's part of the concern on the unemployment, part of the concern on the brain drain. It's part as well on the concern on the climate change, as we said, and the disasters that know no border.
Though based in Sarajevo, Bregu has been pounding EU corridors intensively since Macron's veto. At a dinner we both attended last month in Brussels, I saw her face-to-face with Europeans who were airing doubts that her country, Albania, should ever be a member of the EU, partly because of its legacy of 400 years of Ottoman rule.
So we were there together, and you heard that I was trying not really go back and make differences or trying to analyze the European identity or the European values based on our ancestors coming from Athens or Spartans. So can anybody tell me who is more European? An Albanian doctor who serves and treats patients in Hamburg or Frankfurt, or the Italian doctor coming from a new member state who treats Albanian patients in Albania? And these perceptions, they're not based on facts. So build, rebuild stereotypes, stigmas that you keep, and just that go on year after year, sometimes, unfortunately, century after century.
Bregu pushes back somewhat against the reputation of some Western Balkans countries as breeding grounds for jihadi fighters. But she acknowledges problems like weak border controls, which could make it easier for large numbers of foreign fighters to return and compound the region's security challenges.
We realized that the foreign terrorist fighters from the Western Balkans in total were 1,057. While the foreign terrorist fighters from the EU joined the fighting group since 2012 have been 5,000. And coming from EU member states. Now, I wouldn't really dare to say that EU is having the biggest number of foreign terrorist fighters, and this makes EU look in a worse shape than Western Balkans, because there are other things happening in the Balkans as well. Institutions are weak, then border controls might be weaker, so there are other elements that might enhance this number of 1,000 and make it appear more problematic. And we do have problems, so the situation is problematic. Challenges are higher. Being poorer, not having the right conditions in place, as I said, to control, could really dismantle any trust that this region is one that is looking forward and it has a European perspective.
So, to what extent do Muslims in the Western Balkans feel that Macron is using a double standard on who gets to be, well, European?
Well, again, since you are mentioning President Macron, I know that there are more Muslims living in France than Muslims living in the Western Balkans. And I don't think that Islam and the moderate Islam and the right to respect your religion is something that should frighten anybody. There are three religions in Albania: Orthodox, Christian Catholics, and Muslims. 70% are Muslims, but nobody could say that the Islam in Albania is not a moderate one. And I would really challenge everybody to pick out who is a Muslim, who is a Christian, and who is an Orthodox in a group of 10 Albanians. And that's a diversity that I think should be always appreciated.